The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Well, it's awesome. God is doing so much, so many things through His people and in the earth today. Holy Spirit is moving, and there's movements all over the world where people are receiving Christ as their personal Savior. Some of the greatest movements of God is in Muslim countries. Thousands of people are receiving Jesus Christ. God is showing up in their dreams, giving them visions. And then when someone comes along and says, "Have you thought about Jesus?" Wow. Yes, God has been speaking to me. And things are just happening. God has a way. He's going to find a way to reach those who want salvation. If people are seeking, they'll find. Well, what we need now in our nation is a revival. Amen? We need that. And I believe it. And it's going to come when we stir our hearts and have a desire for the things of God. One of the things that I believe that we need to recognize is that God has directions for our whole life, every step of our life, everything in our life, and that includes our finances. So my message, I'm going to start a series today, Supernatural Strategic Financial Management. That's a long title. But I want you to know God has supernatural means for meeting your needs. God has supernatural means for you meeting other people's needs. And God has supernatural means for you to be able to walk in His blessings and His power. Supernatural strategic financial management is very important because what we have to understand, and when we start talking about strategic financial management, we're talking about a plan. We're talking about a plan rather than just a day-to-day operation where we're operating off the cuff. Well, we recognize that there is a plan and there's a biblical plan for our life. Now, When we start talking about finances, or we start talking about management of our life, we start talking about success, we have to recognize that God has a plan of success, a plan of finances for you. Overall life, God has a plan for you to walk in, and you're going to find that plan in His Word. If you know, there's a lot of smart people out there that will help you with planning for the future, and that's great. Make sure you get a wise person. If you have a financial planner, make sure you get a wise person that knows what they're doing, and I would suggest a believer, not just anybody. But here's the thing. All their knowledge will not make you the success that God wants you to be. All their knowledge will lead you in a different direction sometimes, the world's knowledge, rather than having a plan based on God's supernatural strategic financial plan for you. God has that plan for you. Now, one of the things that we got to recognize is that the things that we have in this earth, they're not really ours. And that's the first point I'm going to make. And when you come into this world, you came in with nothing. And when you leave this world, you're going to leave with nothing. A rich man told his wife, he knew that his days were numbered. Told his wife, he said, "Sell all my assets, put all my money in a bag and hang it in the attic. Because when I go to heaven, I'm going to grab it on my way up." Well, his day came and he passed away, and the wife ran up in the attic and she looked, and sure enough, the bag was still hanging there. She just shook her head and she said, "I knew I should have put it in the basement." On the way down, Well, we know you're not going to take it with you. So what do you need to do is make sure that you're doing what Jesus said, and that is lay up treasure in heaven. Yes, God has a plan of success for your life, but the most successful thing that you can do is seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. If you feel like, you know, I have some things that I need, trust God. Seek His kingdom above everything else, and He'll take care of you. And what Jesus was talking about there, He was talking about all the things that the people out there are running after, trying to chase down. You know, all the cars and the houses and the success in careers, four-wheelers and all those kind of things that everybody is chasing after. Motor homes. He said, listen, don't be concerned about those things. Those things will lead you down the wrong path. All right, so the first thing we're talking about this morning is God owns all things. That's my first point. I'm going to give you a few scriptures here because I want you to know the scripture there. This is just a few of the hundreds that are in the Bible about God owning everything. Psalms 50, verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. He makes it perfectly clear. It's mine. It's mine. I don't care where it is, scattered all over this world. It belongs to me. That's what God says. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. God says that in Psalms 50:11. In Psalms 50:12, if I were hungry, this is God speaking, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. It's all God's. It's incredible.
Yes. Amen.
If we can comprehend this fact, I mean really comprehend it, and recognize that everything belongs to God, it's all His, we own nothing, God is the owner of all of it. If we can comprehend that, then we can come to the point where we will understand what Jesus was talking about in Matthew when He said this, "Oh, what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to them who ask him?" If, you know, and Jesus is making it perfect, you know, we're evil. We have evil thoughts, evil hearts sometimes. Praise God for the new heart that God has placed in us. Thank God for the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ, for we're new creatures in Christ. And yet we still live in a body, and we have a soul realm, a mind, will, and emotions that is many times controlled by our flesh and an enemy that keeps attacking us, lying to us and deceiving us. So we have to deal with these things, and we must come to the realization that our Father in heaven loves us so much that He's going to give us good things. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. I would move heaven and hell if it was within my power to do good things for my kids, for my grandkids. And I feel like this congregation, everybody sitting in here, you feel the same way. You care about your families. Part of the reason you're here is because you care about your family. Look, if you don't care about your family, you stay home. Lots of people do. You go to ball games. You do whatever you desire to do. And you do whatever you desire to do from selfish ambitions and motivations. That's just the way we are. So you're here this morning, and I know then that you're here, you want to hear a word that's going to impact your life. So listen carefully. God loves you with all His heart.
Whew. Yes, He does.
That's a big heart. He loves you so much. that he wants good things for you. But all he's desiring from you as a human being who's been saved by the grace of God is to give him your best in every area. Coming back from Texas, I didn't have an opportunity. Of course, we were in Texas with our Texas family, and praise God, we got to spend time with them. But I always miss my family here, church family and my family. Miss my grandkids, miss them greatly. So when I had the opportunity, I went over and picked up my grandsons and brought them to my house. And I picked them up around 11 o'clock one day, and we went to the house, and they, this is being summer, they were sleeping in, so they didn't get any breakfast. And so they were hungry, and they told me they were hungry. So Papa, Tammy wasn't home. She had other things that she had to do. She was running errands and working at the office. And Papa is not the greatest cook in the world. If you've ever heard my story about making gravy, you know how horrible a cook I am. However, I can fix a mean breakfast. We had eggs, so I fixed eggs for the boys, and they devoured those eggs. And I say that because had I tried to fix them macaroni and cheese, they probably would not have eaten it because it wouldn't have been very good. I'm just not a cook. Tammy is an awesome cook. And we look forward to everything she cooks for us. But I gave my best to my grandkids. And here's the thing, God's going to give you his best, and it's always awesome. Yeah. It's incredible. Yeah. He has nothing but good things for you. In fact, the Word of God says, all good things come down from the Father of lights, where there is no variableness or shadow of turning. There's no changing. He's good. He's powerful. And he loves you that much. He's going to give good things to you. God doesn't change. Tammy and I learned early in our Christian walk that God owns all things and that he could be trusted to take care of us. When we got saved and started serving the Lord, we came under some good teachings. We were taught to tithe. We were taught to give. And Tammy and I, have, through the years, we've given all kinds of things. And I'm not, please don't misunderstand. I'm not bragging about this. I just merely want to show you how faithful God is when we trust him. I've given shoes away. I've given clothes away. I've given automobiles away. I've given all kinds of things, money, food, whatever the need was, and we saw the need, the Holy Spirit spoke to us, and we would respond to it. So early on, we learned these principles. And then we went to work at Children's Services. God opened a door for us to minister at Children's Services in their group home with the neglected and abused children. And here was the perk that we had at Children's Services. We didn't need anything. They provided a home. They provided furniture. They provided even a vehicle. We ended up having our own vehicle, but they provided a vehicle. Everything was provided. All the food, everything. And we worked there for a couple of years, and then the Holy Spirit began to speak to us about starting a group home of our own. We called Sena Care, and we started making plans and doing that. And when we left Children's Services, here's the reason I'm sharing this with you, is because we left there, we had nothing. we did have a bedroom suit. I don't remember how we ended up having that. We had a bedroom suit, but all our food, all our, you know, we had our clothing in our vehicle. We didn't have a home. We didn't have anything. However, God had opened the door for us to get a building that was 6,000 square foot building for us to start this ministry in. It needed tons and tons of work, all kinds of things that needed to be done. It was empty. It didn't have a refrigerator. It didn't have a stove. It didn't have heating system. It had nothing, absolutely nothing. My wife and my children, it was early spring, and the only heating source we had was a fireplace. It was in an old living room. And I'd start a fire in there, and then I'd go off, and I still had duties at children's services to keep my family warm in the mornings. But the reason I'm sharing all this with you, because I want you to see God is always faithful. And the principle of sowing and reaping is real. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, overflowing will men give unto your bosom. God uses people. So we started this ministry with nothing. We started speaking in churches and sharing the vision that God had given us, and item after item started flowing into us. Refrigerator was given to us, stove. People helped us with the heating system. People began to make donations so that we could remodel this facility. And a year later, it was completely furnished and completely remodeled. I look back on that. I'm going to tell you, I don't know how it happened other than God. It was an absolute miracle that we were able to do it. God provided people to come in. He provided this one pastor who was retired but still pastoring a church. He was a carpenter. He would come every day and work on our house for us. Other churches volunteered and came and helped us do remodeling and put carpet down and all kinds of things to get this house in order. God is faithful to His people. And I told you about us sowing. That was good, but we didn't sow that much. We reaped a whole lot more than we sowed. That's our God. That's the kind of God we serve. He'll not forsake you. He is in control. Number two, I want you to know we're managers, not owners. We manage. If we're going to have supernatural, strategic, financial plan, we've got to recognize that we are managers, not owners of the things that we have. Psalms 115, verse 16, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth He has given to the children of men. Now, this is not a contradiction of the other scriptures that I talked about where God owns everything. Excuse me. This is merely saying God owns it and He's delegated this responsibility to mankind. And to Christians particularly, we are to take on the responsibility of managing this life that we have. Managing it the way God wants it managed. The psalmist is merely pointing out that God owns the earth, but He has given it to men to manage. You know, usually a manager of a fast food restaurant is not the owner. Typically, they have a position. They've been hired to manage this store for whatever, you know, maybe a shift, or maybe they're the overall manager. But when they're managing, they're to treat that store as if it's their own. And if they don't, they should lose their job. Many managers have run business right in the ground.
That's right.
Because they didn't take it on as if it was theirs. And particularly believers, if we take something on, we should do it as unto the Lord, not unto men. So whatever it is that we are called to do, whatever we are supposed to be doing in life, every task that we take it on to please the Lord, not to please people. And I know that's hard when you're a people pleaser. You want people to be pleased. But sometimes when you're pleasing God, you're not pleasing people. We got to accept that.
Yeah.
So we're managers. Tammy and I, when we were coming back from Texas, it was late at night, and we were both hungry. We hadn't eaten for quite a while. And she said, you know, Wendy's sounds good to me. So I saw an exit that had a Wendy's, and I thought, man, it's going to be right there. I turned off, and it was 2 miles down the road. That was the beginning of a bad situation. When we got there, we walked in, and, you know, it's late. Things just didn't look so great. Tammy started ordering. She ordered, I forget what it was that she ordered, but she ordered, and the menu said it's $2.35. When she rang it up, it was $2.69. And, of course, Tammy being Tammy,
yeah, that's right.
She said, your menu says $2.35. The girl yelled at the manager, our menu says this is $2.35 and it rang up at $2.69. Well, our prices went up. Well, that surely didn't go over good with Tammy. She said to the person, well, you need to give it to me for the price because that's what you advertised it for. She said to the man, the girl again, can we give it to her for the price on the menu? No, we can't do that. It's locked in. We can't do that. I can't change it. And Tammy said, okay, I don't want it. It wasn't that, you know, the few cents more. It was the principle of the thing. If they advertise it, that's what it should be. Well, that was, once again, that was an indication of things were not good. We looked, you know, we went and sat down. Food wasn't the greatest. Late at night, you know, we kind of expected maybe it'd be that way. But the place was filthy. Ketchup all over the tables. I went to the bathroom and it was nasty. Whose fault was that? It was the manager. The manager was not on top of things. The manager was responsible. Now, if the owner finds out about it and doesn't do something about it, then it'll be the owner's responsibility. But I can tell you something, our God who owns all things, if we're not managing properly, we're going to reap some consequences.
Yes, sir.
You're managing for God.
Good,
do all you can do.
Right.
Do it with all your might.
Yes.
Do it to please Him.
Yes.
A steward. That's what we're talking about. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. We're talking about stewardship here and being a good steward. And a steward is merely a manager. It's a biblical term, but it's a manager. Joseph was a manager. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. He went into Potiphar's house, and because of his faithfulness, he rose to the prominent position of steward over all Potiphar's assets. And of course, his wife lied about him, said that he attacked her, and he was put in prison. What happened when he was in prison? He did everything properly. He rose to the position of steward in the jail, in the prison. And he managed and cared for the people in the prison. And when the two men came to him that was put in prison by the Pharaoh, and he had dreams, one of them, the baker, I believe it was, and the cupbearer, the baker ended up, he gave him a prophecy and said, you're going to die, and he did. And the other one, he was going to be restored. And the other one said to him, I'll not forget you. I'll tell Pharaoh about you. Well, he did forget him. And it went on for, we don't know exactly how long, but long enough that Joseph could have given up and said, well, what good is this being faithful to God, doing my best? Look where it gets me, in prison. But no, Joseph continued to be faithful.
Yes, he did.
And God had a plan. God's plan was to move him out of that prison to become the steward of all of Egypt, the greatest kingdom in that time, at that time, the most powerful kingdom. Joseph became the steward of all things for Pharaoh. And he was only second in rank to Pharaoh. He controlled all things. His faithfulness caused him to rise to a prominent position. Now, I can't promise you that you're going to be the second in command to the president. Some of you probably don't even want to be. But it doesn't matter. What matters is that you do the best you can do in being faithful to God, because you are a steward. You know, here we are in this nation that we live in. We're a society that is never satisfied. We always want more. We always want bigger houses, more cars, bigger TVs, supersized value meals. We want the big things. And because of that, we spend the majority of our time doing what is called chasing the American dream. Well, the American dream can become a nightmare if we're not careful. God has a dream for you. And his plans are much, much greater than chasing the American dream. Here, let me give you some statistics here real quick. American consumers spend over $3 trillion annually buying discretionary luxury products and services just about every year. Americans spend about 15% of their household incomes on things they do not need to satisfy the vices that cannot be satisfied to impress people that they don't even like most of the time. God has called us to more. Here's a statistic that might blow you away. One-third of the world, and we live in part of that world, one-third of the world is well-fed and has more than they need. One-third of the world has just barely enough to eat. And one-third is starving. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with us when we spend more money on shopping malls than we do on education for our children? What's wrong with us when we see people poverty-stricken and instead of lending them a hand up, we turn our head and walk away? What's wrong with our condition? Do we not know that Jesus said, if you do it to the least of these, you've done it to me?
Yes.
We need to get our priorities in order.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes. There's a little country church that had a fundraiser every year. They asked people to commit to giving. This is a way that they took care of their needs. Now, we teach tithing because I believe wholeheartedly in scriptural principle of tithing, and I'll be talking more about that in the future. I'll give you lots of scriptural reference to how important tithing is and being faithful. But this is how they did it. And the pastor had this one particular farmer. He was a prosperous farmer, but he was tight. He didn't like to give. He would walk and squeak at the same time. He was that tight. The pastor went to him. He said, I got an idea. He sat down with the pastor and he sat down with this farmer. He said, Farmer Brown, if you had two new tractors, would you sell one and give the money to the church? And he said, yes. Oh, I'd do that. Yeah, absolutely. He said, okay, if you inherited $2 million, would you give the church $1 million? Or would you at least give us 10%? He said, oh, I'd give 10% or more. He said, well, good, good. And he said, okay, farmer, if you had two pigs, would you? And the farmer said, oh, hold on 1 minute. You know I have two pigs. Came close to home for the farmer.
Yeah.
We can all say, oh man, if I hit the lottery, and it's pretty hard for me to hit the lottery, I don't play. But if I inherited a bunch of money, I'd give it to the church. Well, let's wait and see what I'll really do when I have the resources. Because if I'm not doing it now, if I'm not giving, if I'm not being obedient to the Word of God now, if I'm not seeing people in need, if I'm not giving to the church when we have fundraisers for whatever reason, if I'm not doing it now with the resources I have, it doesn't matter how much money I have, I won't do it. You have to be faithful in the little things. In the little things. Here's what the Word of God says. James 2:15. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are in need for the body, what does it profit? What's it going to profit you? Third thing I want to share with you this morning is giving is the key to unlocking blessings. John the Baptist was asked by the people he was baptizing how to please God. And this was before Jesus was baptized. And here's what he said. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Go ahead. So the people ask him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and said to them, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. So what's the key to God's blessing? Being generous. You want God's blessing? Be generous. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be generous. Have a generous heart. Proverbs 11:24 says this, there is one who scatters yet increases. He increases more. And there's one who withholds more than is right and leads to poverty. The Word of God is true. Supernatural principle is, if you hold on it, the harder you hold on, the more likely you are to lose it. When you let go and let God, that's when you open the door to God's blessings in life.
Amen. Amen.
Listen to what Jesus said about giving. Give, and it'll be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. Oh, if I give, this is Jesus' words. He's giving you a supernatural insight into what you need to do to have strategic financial plan and management. Give and it'll be given to you. Press down. I mean, you know, it's like if you have a basket full of anything, beans, let's say. What do you usually, surely everyone in here has picked green beans. If you haven't, you pick green beans, what do? You put them in there and then you shake that thing. You move it around. Why are you doing that? Because you want to make more room for your beans. You press it and then you press it down. You don't want to break the beans, but you press it down. Press down, shaken together, and then you just overflow your basket.
Woo.
Hallelujah. That's God's promise to us.
Amen.
I want to share some things real quick with you. I need to move on with this. But real quick, I want to share some things that this church does because you give.
Yeah.
Go to that slide, please, Seth. There you go. Okay. Here are some of the things that we do here at Bethel. First of all, other than, you know, your giving helps us with our Sunday morning service, helps us take care of all the things that we do here, our utilities and all that stuff, pays my salary, helps keep the staff that we have, Praise God. And it's supernatural. I want everybody to understand the fact that we are able to do the things that we do is supernatural. Praise God. So, thank you. Praise God. Give Him glory. Adults, the teens, the kids ministry, worship, all these things are supported by your giving. All the classes that we have, they're all supported by your giving. But we also have the community, Chester Community Center, where we have a variety of ministries there and people, civic organizations that use it. People, we allow people to come in and rent it at a reduced fee. It's not a huge fee, but we do charge a fee because there's utilities and there's upkeep and there's all kinds of things. But the community is using the Chester Community Center. It's awesome, and you're making that available. For those of you who are part of Bethel, it's free of charge for you. You can use it. You can do whatever. You can have parties down there. Good parties. You can play basketball. You can use it. Volleyball. There's stuff down there that you can do. Praise God. And because of your giving. We operate out of that facility, our Hearts and Hands thrift store. Praise God, where the clothing that comes in there is made available to anybody, and it's made available to anybody at a very, very reasonable price. Go check it out sometimes. But those in our community who are unable to maybe go to Walmart and pay the full price for it can go there and get items that are in as good a shape as if they were brand new. Many of them are new. You make that available to the people. Christmas giveaway is part of the Hearts and Hands. Every year we're giving, you make it available. Some of you give above and beyond so that kids can have Christmas. And last year, according to Janice, we served 130 kids in our community. Awesome. Praise God. Manna and More. Christy and Tony operate that ministry. Man, they're doing an awesome job, and we average 21 families from our community every month that's getting food. You make that available. You make that possible. Here's some other ministries that we support. American Cancer Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow, fighting for Christian rights. Bend Area Celebration Recovery, helping people who are have any kind of addiction. People go to that on a regular basis. We support that. Evangelical Bible Missions, Good Works, which is a homeless shelter in Athens. Keith Wasserman was here not too long ago, shared with us. He's an awesome born-again Jewish believer who loves the Lord and been doing this for many, many years, and we're supporting that. You make it available for homeless people to have a place to sleep, for homeless people to have a minister, a place where they can go and live and get back on their feet. They have a specific house that, in fact, it's in that group home that I told you about. We made that available to them, and they purchased it from us. But you make that available for people who are down and out. You give them a hand up through supporting that ministry. It's awesome. Jewish Voice, Jonathan Burness, reaching out to the Jewish people, helping Jews go back, not just Jews, but Hebrews, Israelites, go back to Israel. Life Outreach International, which is drilling wells and ministering life to people. High on Hope Ministries, another addiction ministry, but this is a residential facility where people go there and get clean and go back out and start a productive life. Mid Valley Christian School, we all, surely you believe in Christian education. Praise God that we're able to support our local Christian school. Children are learning, not only learning and growing in their academics, but they're learning and growing in the Word of God. Nehemiah International Institute, another ministry, a good friend, Jay Dewhurst, who was a part of this church ministry and then went out from us. Now he's a missionary in El Salvador doing an awesome work. You make that possible for those people in El Salvador. Poor Children's Assistant Project, that's a Haiti ministry. I've been there two or three times witnessing what they do. They serve the poorest of the poor. In Haiti, they feed them, they help clothe them, they love them, but they give them the gospel of Jesus Christ to change their life, to get them set on the right course. Pregnancy Resource Center, a place where young ladies who are pregnant can go and have hope. They do not have to abort their children. They can have hope, adopt those children out or help them raise those children and teach them good parenting principles. That's a blight on our society, abortion. Ryan Johnson Ministries, we all know Ryan. We love Ryan and support Ryan. Samaritan's Purse, another ministry reaching people in all over the world. Vision for Africa. Again, people from our own congregation, Bill and Patricia Cornell, who went to church here and then went out. They went to California first and then ended up in Africa as missionaries. People we love and know that are doing a work for the kingdom of God. You make that available. And then the last one, Walk FM, the local radio ministry here. We support that because I believe in Christian radio. I believe in Christian music. I love contemporary Christian music. I listen to it regularly. You are supporting that. You're making it, keeping that ministry alive. And here's another one. We have a benevolence fund, which is used for people in our congregation who have run on hard times and people in the community. Every year, I don't have the figures on this right now, but I can tell you this, when I do look at the figures on it, it's thousands of dollars that you make available to people who have a specific need, whatever it is. You're meeting people's needs. You make that available. How is it possible that we can do all this? Because God speaks to the hearts of His people. And we recognize how good He is. And if He's that good to us, how can we not be good to others? Amen. Last thing I want to share with you. I need to wrap this up. I want to ask you this question. Why should you give to our stewardship campaign, our impact offering campaign? You probably received, most likely you received a letter that explained what we're doing. And we do this time we're just going to do it for a year, and then we're going to revamp things a little bit and probably do a 2 or 3 year program. But you received the letter explaining what we're asking. We did make some suggestions of what you could give, but they're just merely suggestions. I want you all to understand that. We want you to be a part of what we're doing. And here's what happens. When you give to this stewardship campaign, your giving offsets the payment that we would have to take out of our general budget and allows us to be able to do all those things that I shared with you this morning. It's not just about paying off our building. It's about continuing to minister the way God has called us to minister, to do the things that God has called us to do, and more. We're expecting to be able to do more. Touch more. Touch more lives. Impact people. We're getting ready. We're working on streaming our service. Now, it's not going to be a huge cost, but there's some costs involved in doing this. And in order to do this, why do we want to do this? Do you think I want people to see my face, my mug on their TV? I really don't. If you think that, you don't know me very well. This is not my ultimate dream and desire, to be standing up here in front of people and preaching the Word of God. But it's what I've been called to. And I believe when we stream our services, we're going to be able to minister to people who are unable to come to church for whatever reason. And you will make that possible. So why should you give to our campaign? Let me give you a couple real quick scriptures so I can move on with this. Exodus 25:2, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take an offering. Now, I'm telling you what is going on here is they're preparing to build the tabernacle in the wilderness. And here's the precedent that has already been set by God through Moses. People give a free will offering for buildings. When there's structures that are to be built up, it's supposed to be a free will offering. And a free will offering means that nobody is twisting your arm, nobody is forcing you, nobody is standing on your neck saying you will give. That's right. Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. Each and every one of us. Now, some of us, look, I mentioned that what we are supposed to do is do what we can. For some of you, you may only be able to give a dollar. That's okay. If you commit to that and it's your heart and that's all you can do, praise God. I don't care about the amount. I care about having your heart. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Do you believe in me? Do you believe in our leadership? Do you believe in our church?
Come on. Amen.
If you believe, you'll find a way to do something. Children can give. Teenagers can give. Everybody can do something as a part of this. You may be able to give hundreds of dollars. I don't know. Praise God. I hope you're that prosperous. And if you are, you better be thanking God. Yeah, the scripture is in Chronicles when they were building the temple. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord into the hand of Jeril, the Geshurite. Then the people rejoiced where they had offered willingly because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced. Let me tell you something. If we were to meet our budgeted or our payment every month because you gave above and beyond, you would see a King David jumping up here and say, hallelujah, praise God, I rejoice.
Yes, yes, yes.
There's reason to rejoice when God speaks to his people and they respond. Chronicles chapter 29 verse 14 says this, that who am I and who are my people, this is David, that we should be able to offer so willingly as this, for all things came from you and all of your own we have given you. We're just giving it back to God. We're looking for some faithful people. People who will willingly, faithfully continue to believe in this ministry.
Yes.
In the 1940s, there was a gentleman by the name of Clarence Jordan. Clarence was a very, very talented man. He had two PhDs. He had a PhD in agriculture. He had a PhD in Greek and Hebrew. Now, if you ever tried to read Greek and Hebrew, you know how smart you have to be to understand it. He could have done anything with his life, but he was a believer. And he wanted to do something to impact the kingdom of God and touch people. And he had a heart for poor people. So he decided to go to Georgia, Americus, Georgia. This was in the 1940s. This was during a time when there was much racial prejudice. Not only against blacks, it was mostly against African Americans, but it was also against poor people, just people they didn't like. You know, lots of prejudice. Well, these were the people that Clarence decided he wanted to minister to. So he went to Georgia in the heart of the South, where there's lots of prejudice, and he started a farm. He bought a bunch of acreage, and he invited all the poor people. It didn't matter what color they were. He invited all of them to come, and he was going to give them a plot of land, and they were going to work that land and begin to understand what it means to work with your hands and prosper and be able to sell that produce and make a difference. Raise them up out of poverty by teaching them how to work with their hands and how important it was to understand that God had given them that opportunity. He was teaching them these things. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The people of the town didn't like it much. They did everything they could to get rid of Clarence and his people. But they stayed and they worked. One night, in the middle of the night, the Ku Klux Klan came in. And they burned houses, they beat people up, they destroyed crops, they tore down buildings, there was hardly anything left. And Clarence recognized some of the voices from town. And one of those voices was a local reporter. So the next day, Clarence, some of the people picked up and left because, you know, it was difficult. It was hard. The next day, Clarence got his hoe out, went out to the garden, and began to plant plants again. And as he is working, along come this reporter. And he knew that reporter had been there. And the reporter said, "Clarence, I heard about this awful thing that happened to you, and I just want to report on the closing of Koinonia Farms." Clarence didn't say anything. Clarence just kept on hoeing and planting. And the guy did everything he could to antagonize Clarence, try to get a rise out of him. And finally, he got upset himself. And he said, "Dr. Jordan, you got them two PhDs. And you've been working this farm for 14 years. And there's nothing left." Just how successful is that? Clarence stopped, turned around, and looked at him. Quietly, but firmly. He said, "About as successful as the cross, sir. You see, sir, you don't understand us. What we're about is not success. What we're about is faithfulness. We're staying." And when I first read this story a few years ago, that farm is still in operation, still ministering, still helping people. Faithfulness is what God is looking for. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.